The scriptures that we read together this evening are found in 1 Peter. We start our reading in 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 12. We'll read through verse 11 of chapter 5. And then, as is announced in the bulletin, our text will be the 7th verse of chapter 5. Peter, writing to the saints of God who are scattered because of persecution throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who by the grace of God are also strangers with a living hope within them. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our text tonight will be verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Tonight we want to hear the voice of God speaking to us. We want to hear him personally by his grace and hear his call to pray and to cast all of our care upon him, knowing that he cares for us. There is none of us who pray as we ought. I trust that it's true of all of us, that we would say, I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. And perhaps at times we even feel guilt about our own prayer life, and we sense the need that we need to grow, and that prayer and living by prayer is difficult for us. Often the case with us can be even worse than what I am saying. Often the case can be that we don't pray personally at all, or that we spend long seasons, times in our life that we're, for various reasons, busyness, in carelessness, we are absent from the throne of grace. Maybe formally, there's those points, but not sincerely and of the heart. Perhaps the case can happen to us that our own prayer life becomes very habitual, very stale. The words are hard. It's hard to mouth the petitions in our minds and out of our mouths. And our minds begin to wander, especially when we are called to that time of secret prayer with our Heavenly Father. Our mind wanders quickly within seconds. And then there is the fact that very often you and I often get all snarled up and all twisted in our thinking about prayer. We ask the question, should I pray? Does it really help? But I'm such a sinner, do I dare pray? I'm ashamed to face God. I don't have time to pray. Is it really that necessary for me to pray? We get all kinds of questions. And beloved, God is saying to you, and He is saying to me, He's saying to His children, to whom He has given an ear of the heart to hear Him by His grace. God is simply saying to you, stop. Stop talking. Listen. Listen to me. Pray. So long as you are on the earth, every day and in every situation, lift up your eye of faith unto me. Come to me in prayer. We, in the matter of prayer, must simply learn to listen to God. To stop talking and to listen. He says, cast your care upon me, for He careth for us. The whole Bible, as you know, is really a book of prayer. It's through the whole Bible. But now, have you noted in the Bible, as it speaks to us of prayer, that prayer is most often, in all of those passages, commanded? Almost in every place that it's taught, it comes as a command. Seek ye my face. And my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 27. Call upon me, and I will answer thee. Jeremiah 33. Our Lord in Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Philippians 4, in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. It is not a suggestion. It is not an option. It is not something that you should try to see if it works for you. You should not say, but I don't want to pray, and would it not be hypocritical for me to pray if I don't feel like praying? I would feel awkward. Beloved, God knows all of that. He says, stop. The command is there because God knows exactly how it happens with us and how we are tempted to think. And He simply says, pray. Come to me. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we are prone to wander. He says, cast your care on me. Pray. Our text tells us not only that it is a command, but our text tells us that the true humility is the key or the gateway to true prayer. The passage, our text, is in the context of the call to humility. The call in the context is to be clothed, for every one of us, to clothe ourselves in every aspect of our life with true spiritual humility. It's a call to be humble before our elders. It's a call to be humble before God. It's a call to be humble before each other. And Peter enforces that call to humility when he quotes from Proverbs 3, verse 34, that God resisteth the proud. He's against the proud. But he giveth grace unto the humble. We are called to humility because humility is the state that we need. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. That's the state that we need to be in if we are to come to God sincerely in prayer. Proud people do not pray. They may say words, but they do not pray. Nor do they give thanks. Humble people are the only ones, by God's grace, who pray. But this call to humility in our text is not simply a general call to humility, but the apostle here has in mind especially humility while we are under the mighty hand of God in chastisement, or in Peter's day, in trial and suffering and struggles for Jesus' sake. In other words, when we are under extreme stress, when we are under a period of testing, of chastening, of persecution. The context plainly is that of persecution, of being reproached for the name of Christ, of suffering as a Christian, of suffering according to the will of God. Because we are following the will of God, there comes to us hardship, deep struggles. In those positions, God says to us, as he brings us under trial, whatever that trial might be for you and for me tonight, God says, don't kick back at God. Don't try to buck off his chastisements. Don't come back to him in anger. Don't say, why? Why does this happen? Don't. But humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourself to your heavenly Father. And do what? Grin and bear it? Grit your teeth? No. Cast your care upon me. Don't carry them. Don't stew about them. Don't analyze them. Take them and cast them on God. He cares for you. And don't leave then prayer till you have done that. As Jacob then, because your case and your cares are real and your case is serious, then like Jacob, say, I won't let you go. Now you bless me. I call your attention tonight to casting our care upon God. Very simply, we see the command, the motives, and the promise. Casting all your care upon Him. All your care. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's heavy. That's painful. That's complex. Those are the cares that have worn us down, that have seized a hold, that have drained us. That's our anxiety and our fear. All your care. As many people as are in the auditorium tonight, so many cares. And then each one of us have so many cares individually. All your care. and especially that particularly heavy care. When God says, cast all your care, singular, embracing the whole bundle of them, it's very plain that He tells us, and He's well aware, that we have many of them, that we are very distressed by them, that we are characterized by them, and that we get to the point that we can't bear them any longer. But He's again speaking to us not simply of our normal Christian state. We would say that it is normal as we are on this earth that we are characterized by many different cares. You remember what Jesus said to Martha. Martha, who was cumbered with serving all of the people in her house because Jesus was there. And she rebuked the Lord and said, Lord, my sister Mary, she's just sits there and listens to you. She should be helping me with this serving. And He said to her, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and careful about many things. One thing is necessary, to hear my word. In a moment, cares can come into our head, and we don't even hear what Jesus is saying to us. Suddenly, even in church, especially our minds are aware to our cares. But again, the care in mind here in our text is that dark season of trial. That sudden, perhaps, but prolonged, consuming chastening that the Heavenly Father is putting us through. That persecution that comes to us from following the will of God in this life. He's speaking to us of that time that it's dark and it's discouraging and it's frightening. So it was for the saints to whom Peter was writing. The word care that he picks here means to be pulled from two directions. And that's exactly what our cares does. That's exactly what anxiety does to us. It pulls us. And so the saints were saying, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I have to take care of my family. God calls me to care for my family. But now, if I follow my Christian convictions, I'm going to lose that job. What am I going to do in my extended family? If I follow my convictions that Christ has taught me, there's going to be division. There's going to be strife. My family is not just going to be upset with me, but they're going to cast me out of the family. What am I to do? What course do I take? If I obey God, this is what's going to happen. What do I do? Very similar. We are in those positions, in those same positions. And we look into the future and we say, I see an evil that is coming. I see something. Suddenly it was made known to me this afternoon and I'm consumed by it now. If I simply trust and follow God's will in this, what's going to happen to me? If I walk humbly and godly, no, I better not do that. I better take care of myself in this situation. What am I to do? And that care, then, has to do with me in the future. It's when I'm projecting me, myself, into the future. Is that not true? Are not our troubles and worries difficult for us because we don't know what's going to happen? And we want to know, and we want to control the outcome my way. Isn't that the issue in care? It may be only 5 minutes away. It may be tomorrow. It may be a month from now. What will happen? Am I going to be able to handle this? Am I going to be able to deal with that? What happens if this happens? What will I do? The future and me. That's our care. Those things can be very real, very sincere. If I support the causes of the kingdom, I'm not making that kind of money. What am I going to do? I'm going to have enough. Did I really pick the right major in college? How do I know? Is this the right person for me? Is he, is she the right person? What about the church of God in this evil world? What about my children in the evil day? Many things. They cause us fear and worry. This is very serious because our care is a great threat. It's a great threat not only physically and emotionally. It's not only stress and high blood pressure. That's true. We are one, body and soul. God knows that. But the great threat to my care is that my care prevents me from listening to God's voice. And you remember with me, children, the parable of the four kinds of soil, or the parable of the sower. And remember with me the fourth or the third type of soil into which the seed of the word was cast. It was thorny ground. And Jesus said of that thorny ground, Matthew 13:22, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. He hears it. And the care, same word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Two separate things happen to him. The deceitfulness of riches, materialism, and the care of this world, the many cares, the exact word that Peter uses in our text. Those cares choke the word of God. They become like earplugs that he can't hear or he can't stop. Yes, I know God's word is there, but I can't stop now because there is this care. It is consuming me. And therefore it's very dangerous to our spiritual lives when my mind and my heart constantly are running over and over, and this care more and more is seeking to stick into my soul. I can't pay attention to the word of God. The reality of the presence of God and the calming power of the voice of Jesus Christ in His Word. The voice that smooths the waters of the sea and commands the winds and the waves and gives peace. I can't hear that voice. I seem like it's not possible for me right now. How can I listen to that right now because of that care? That care seems to be so much bigger. And we even begin to say, as we think about our cares, God can't handle this. This is too complex for the Word of God. The solution has to be found in addition or more than just God's Word. What can God's Word possibly say about this? It can't handle this. It chokes the Word of God from my ears. What am I to do with my care? I can't just stop caring. The Word of God condemns apathy, indifference. I have to be faithful. I have to go into my responsibilities tomorrow. I have responsibilities from God. What do I do? Cast your care upon Him. for he cared for you. Prayer, more than anything else, is a child of God unburdening himself, telling our Heavenly Father what's on our hearts. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart like you'd pour out a glass of water. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Now, I know that the Bible teaches us that prayer is more than that. And children, you probably have learned in school or catechism, acts, adoration, adore, confess, thanks, supplication. So yes, prayer is adoration, it's thanks, it's confession. That's true. But this is the heart of it. The heart of it is this. You pour out your soul. You commune. You pour out your care to him. You tell him. I must tell Jesus. Jesus will help me. Jesus will care. Jesus knows. Nobody else knows. Nobody else can really help me. But God knows. God not only can help me, he's God. Prayer then is the recognition of who I am. I'm needy. I'm dependent. I'm sinful. I'm weak. That's who I am. And prayer is the recognition of who God is. My Father, is there anything too hard for the Lord? My Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck my sheep from his hand. Take your care and cast it on him. There's one other time that this word cast is used in the Bible. It's Luke 19, verse 35, on Palm Sunday. You remember, children, the disciples were sent by the sovereign Savior to get that little colt that he would ride as he entered into Jerusalem. And we read, and they brought him, the colt, to Jesus, and they cast. That's the only other place in the New Testament where it's found, this word cast. And they cast their garments on the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. To cast means that you take off what's on your shoulders. You take it off, you peel it off, and you throw it. You throw it upon God. As I said, we tell him. We bring our souls and burdens to him. And then we don't pull them back and put them back on us. But we place them on God and we leave them there. But the question is, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? I'm constantly taking them back to myself. Well, that is something like this. Lord, I can't. I can't carry this. I cannot manipulate the future. I cannot take care of me tomorrow. I can't do that. I am called to trust thee as my faithful God. I am called to humble myself under the mighty hand of my God. Give me to see that hand. Give me grace to obey. Lord, tomorrow, do what seemeth good to thee. Only, give me grace to be faithful to thee right now. I have set the Lord before me always. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Lord, I have to be faithful. I need not to be despondent, not to be irresponsible, not to be angry. I need to be faithful to thee. Give me to be concerned about that. And I cast all the rest upon thee. Lord, you have to change my spouse. I can't do that, but I am responsible that I walk faithfully to thee and love thee and do what thou hast called me to do. Give me grace to do that. And give me grace to leave her or him to thee. Lord, I need a job. Give me grace to be faithful and to trust that you will take care of me. You see, beloved, it's humility. Humble yourself. Pride keeps our cares on our shoulders. Humility. Cast them upon God. Sometimes we think that it's not humble to cast our cares upon God. Every care upon God. Isn't that really using God as a crutch? Sometimes we reason this way, my cares and the big picture of things can't mean that much to him. And the whole bundle of cares of this church tonight, well, mine is not as great as the brother or sister. I'll just carry it myself. Or we say, I have sinned a heinous sin. Great sin. I'm not worthy of God's grace. Why would he be interested in my cares after what I have done? Beloved, that's not humility. That's not being humble. That's being proud. Pride always holds back from God. Humility approaches and casts everything at his feet. Now, whether through the preaching of God's word, the preacher tonight has convicted you that you must cast your cares upon God, or whether perhaps tonight you and I say, really? Really? Just that? Cast my cares upon God? That's what I'm supposed to do? That doesn't matter right now. But this matters. That you and I, as children of God, listen to God. And that we don't simply get all wound up and filled with our worries, but that we listen. And he says, the God who made me and loves me and knows me and who is, he says, cast it on me. Cast your cares on me. Because this is, first of all, the means that God is pleased to give us relief from the burden of our cares. God resists the proud. He holds them apart. But he giveth grace to the humble. How does he give grace to the humble? He gives grace to the humble through prayer. Through prayer, he gives strength, a spiritual strength. Through prayer, we come to see our cares in a different light. Through prayer, we come to see the mighty hand of God around me. Through prayer, we receive grace. It's like the prayer for the forgiveness of sins. The prayer for anxiety, help me, Lord, in my care and anxiety, is very much like the prayer for the forgiveness of sins. The prayer for the forgiveness of sins. We know, before we pray that God has, in Christ, accounted us righteous and forgiven us of our sins. But we pray, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Why do we do that? Because we want to experience the wonder of the relief of the guilt of my sin. Our sins are forgiven us. That's true. But underneath that knowledge and that truth is the sin that I committed today. The guilt of that sin. I feel that. Nevertheless, underneath that knowledge is my guilt. And it is prayer. It is prayer that drains that guilt, that brings that guilt out in confession. And I experience again God's grace. Psalm 32, I confessed my iniquity to the Lord. He forgave my sin, the guilt that was on his heart as a king. And then he says, for this grace, for this experience, shall everyone pray to thee. So with our worries. We know the sovereignty of God. That's true. His counsel shall stand. He will do all the thoughts of his heart. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I know that. If I didn't know that, if we didn't know that, we wouldn't pray. We know that. But we need to pray. Because underneath that knowledge is the care. I'm feeling the care. It's on my soul. And I need to feel and experience that grace. Look to the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's God in human nature. That's God in the reality of our human nature. The wonder of all wonders. He had care in Gethsemane. He looked into the future and knew that the future for him was that he must bear our iniquities up to that tree and suffer upon the cross. He knew what that meant. That would be abandonment from God. If anybody knew what the cost of sin would be, he knew that cost. In his human flesh, as he came to Gethsemane and to that moment, was it so of him in his flesh that there was not a ripple on his soul? He was sinless. Does that mean he had no trouble? He had no fear? He said to his disciples, now is my soul troubled, even unto death, to death. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed. Why did he pray? Because he wanted God to change the future? No. But because in the days of his flesh, he received strength and peace through prayer. If it was true for him, how much more for us? It's in prayer that truth becomes plain. Spiritual truth. Spiritual truth becomes plain, not by simply taking all my fears and tossing them this way and that way in my mind and figuring out every scenario. It comes by spreading it out to God, and then I see it. Children, do you remember King Hezekiah, when Rabshakeh stood before the walls of Jerusalem with his threats and his defiling of God, and he had written it all down on a scroll, and he said to the men on the walls, you bring this to Hezekiah, and you tell him that's what's going to happen. You remember what Hezekiah did with that? He took that scroll into the temple of God, and he spread it out. He spread it out, and he put it before God. He brought it to God so that he could see it. And God said to him, the Assyrians aren't going to even get close enough to the wall to shoot an arrow. I will defend this place for my glory. We need to take it so that we can see it. Those cares, you can't see them unless you take them to God and He show you. He needs to show you. He needs to straighten it out and show you. He'll show you that I have taken to myself God's work. I'm trying to control what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. I'm trying to determine what's best for me. I'm seeking to be His counselor. I've offered to God my trust on certain conditions. I'm looking to my strength and my wisdom to make sure this comes out the right way. And I'm a man. And that's all we ever are. We can't do that. But God can. He's in control. He will take care of my soul. He will build the church. He will glorify His name. And the cares of a sparrow. He cares for a sparrow. And He will care for me. Not only do we cast our cares upon Him that we might experience that grace, but we are encouraged in the text, He careth for you. And that word careth for you is used in a different sense than the first time in the text. All your care, their care was anxiety. Their care was torment and pain. He careth for you. There the word means gentle, loving provision. He will, in His kindness and tenderness, provide for you. He will care for you. He will provide for you what you need. He will do that. Now, why does He say that? Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He says that because you and I will not cast our care upon God, even when we know that He is almighty and powerful. We know that. He is almighty and powerful. But the question is, does He care for me? Does He care for me? In itself, the knowledge that He is powerful and almighty still does not bring me to His throne because I have a conscience. I'm a guilty sinner. And I wonder, is He going to destroy me? Does He really care for me? You find yourself perhaps talking to your friend. You want to unburden yourself to someone. You believe he's your friend. She's your friend. But as you begin to unburden yourself, it becomes very plain to you. You sense it, that they really don't care. And you stop. You don't bring it up again. You don't bring it up again because you don't believe they care. He careth for you. That's His word. I have graven thee, He says in Isaiah, upon the palm of my hand. Thy walls are ever before me. I have inscribed thee upon the walls of my heart. He has predestinated us according to the election of His grace. He has adopted us to be His sons and daughters eternally. He has delivered up His own, His only begotten, His eternal Son of God. He has given His own Son of love to stand in the place of our condemnation. He has raised His Son as the head of the church with heavenly spiritual life for us. He has bestowed upon us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has sworn, because He could swear by no greater, He has sworn by His own self, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. I will not fail you. I cannot lie. I will do that for you in Christ Jesus. I am able, and as your Father, I am willing. I care. Do we know what those words mean? He careth for you. Do we know what we say? Do we really know what that means? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. What love is this, O my soul, that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse? For my soul, He careth for you. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Listen. Just listen to what God says. Do you dread the future? The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those that walk uprightly. Are you confused about what path you need to take? When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, I, the God of Israel, will give them water. I will be light before them. You feel that those cares are pressing down upon your chest and you don't know what to do with them tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You believe that the trial and the chastening of God is going to destroy you? When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. Do you believe that you can't go on anymore? And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Cast your cares on Him, and He will exalt you in due time. In due time. He may not take those burdens and those cares from you. They are serving His purpose. He may not lift them until we leave this life. He will exalt us in due time. He will give us peace. His own peace. He sits upon His throne. He will exalt us. Beloved, when it comes to prayer, we need to listen. Just listen to God. Pray. Cast your care on me, and I will give you my own peace. He will do that for you. Amen. Lord, it's not, we confess, the word of a man that we have heard, We have heard the voice from heaven, even through the voice of His Son, Thy Son, who was on this earth as a man. We have heard Thee say, we must, we are called, we are privileged by grace to cast our burdens on the Lord. And Thou hast promised to sustain us. We have heard Thee even say, put me to the test and see whether it is so. Give us to pray. Amen.